-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello and early happy Thanksgiving, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new -3 here on the Extra Points Network. We're ready to roll, chop it all up for you. College football, pro football. See if we have time for the other sports. Definitely always making time for the game of life. As always, there he is, seated behind the figurative piece of glass, Eddie Spaghetti, producing this, and ready to roll from his manse high atop Hollywood, running the business of show. It's Kevin Hench. What's the poop, fella?
Oh my God, I was just on a call with a big fancy showbiz guy, oh. and I was like, we're chopping it up. It was pretty good.
Who was it?
Is my friend John Coa. He's the head of comedy at CBS. He's a tremendous, tremendous guy. Great, huge sports fan. And we were really having an expansive conversation about all things sports and entertainment. And I was like, I had this, like, I don't know if you guys get this, where you're like I have this a lot with forgetting to put out a fresh brick of dog food to defrost, one of my many jobs around here. I forget that a lot. And I was like, I'm forgetting something that I have to be doing right now. And then I look down and it's like, oh yeah, Spaghetti just texted me. I gotta get to work. I gotta check in with the fellas. Thank you for reminding me of my favorite
sure
job.
Thing, Coa. And did Coa mention the hot new show airing? We're recording on Thursday afternoon here in Los Angeles. Did he happen to mention the Thursday night big primetime show called Pickled? With Stephen Colbert and company?
Pickle did not come up.
It didn't? Well, guess what? That's produced by my old lady. So before you disparage it, watch it. Set your DVR. It's Will Ferrell. It's a bunch of famous people playing the most popular game in the land right now, pickleball. So check that one out. Shout out to Beth Ballou and everybody over there at Funny or Die. See, I know people too.
Okay. No, listen. Everyone into the pool. Everybody's welcome. Except for Kanye.
Wow. That would be a fascinating discussion, Saturday Night Live and everything else. But let's get into sports. We have our picks to make. Eddie Spaghetti is anxious to hear our thoughts on his Giants getting disrespected once again by the bookmakers. Weird line on that one. We got to give you our best bets in college and pro football upcoming. But first up, as we do now every week, it's time for Goat and Goat of the week. Take it away, Kevin Hench. Start us off.
All right. So I'm going to go back to 1978 to get into my GOAT of this week. But so in 1978, as baseball historians will remember, the wheels came off for the Boston Red Sox. Like, this was my introduction to what it would be like to be a Red Sox fan before the good times came. But so everything went wrong, obviously. 14.5 game lead over the Yankees. They blow the division, lose on the last day. Bucky Dent, you know the highlights. But one of the millions of things that went wrong in that second half was Dwight Evans, who I believe belongs in the Hall of Fame, best right fielder of his generation. Dave Parker has a good argument. He got beamed. He got drilled in the head and had to go to the hospital. Was never the same in the second half. You know, a little hard to grip the bat when you're worried about getting killed. So he had an obvious downturn as a result of getting hit with a baseball in the head. What Tua is doing after mere weeks after we thought his career was over, this Tua, now, you know, we have a lot of latitude with the word GOAT, because GOAT means, in the good context, greatest of all time. And then what we pick is like a guy who had a good week, a guy who had 160 yards rushing. GOAT applies here in terms of the distance from what we were all thinking when Tua was in the fencer's pose on the ground in Cincinnati to where he is now in a month, first place, MVP murmurings. This is insane. I mean, we were all like, wow, I guess this is it. Let's hope Let's hope he has normal bodily functions. Can he lead a full life?
We
don't know
that he does. He may not. Like,
we went from, can he lead a full life? Oh my, first of all, is he alive? To that team could win the division. And if they do, he's going to be MVP. Like, wow. This is the greatest of all time in terms of a month going from there to here. And obviously the Dolphins, you know, as they've been going for it with some of these acquisitions, Chubb and Jeff Wilson, I feel like, you know, I don't know where you guys come down on this, but I've been like, I don't know that you guys are close enough to be really going for it. Like, and like, they're kind of proving us wrong. Like,
Don't lump me in with your skepticism. Yeah, I've been in on these Dolphins, and one thing's for sure, he is the greatest of all Tuas. I don't think there would be much of a debate there. I mean, who even would be number two? Yeah, listen, here's the thing about the Dolphins that occurred to me earlier this week, and really the Bills, this weird mini regression. I don't think it lasts unless Josh Allen's elbow issues persist. Then that becomes a real thing. But I think, you know, we always talk about recency bias and all of that and the trends of pro football, and then we abide by them. I think we all got a little cozy with the idea of, with one snapshot of the playoffs being adjusted to include a seventh team and the value of having the number one seed, because both number one seeds went out last year. We have now gotten off the import of getting that number one seed, but it still is huge, because if you look at the preceding decade, you just didn't get to a Super Bowl if you didn't have a bye. Now, there were two teams getting a bye, so that doubles your chances, but you get my larger point here. I think the Bills probably feel like, we'll get this right. We'll leave all this behind us. It's a huge factor. The Cowboys playing the Vikings, in a weird way, ain't getting the buzz it deserves, because whoever wins that one, you know, I know that the Eagles are still in play and all of that, but who gets that week off in between the end of the regular season and gets to take off the wild card week when these teams are so closely packed together? Look at who's going to be playing whom in the wild card round. If you ain't the number one seed, you're in the AFC, you're catching a good team for sure. So I'm with you. And as I've been saying for a month now, I do think the Dolphins are going to wind up with that number one seed. I think they're going to, I think they're going to jump the Bills and win that division. And to the MVP conversation, I'm boring with it. I think it's Lamar or Mahomes. If you look at the schedules that those two teams have upcoming, maybe one loss or two for the two teams the rest of the way there. And so the leading man of those two powerhouses is going to get your MVP. I'm sorry, I interrupted your goat.
That's okay. That's what we do. So what's wild is that the Bills went into KC, won in KC, and so had, you know, like, that's going to be the tiebreaker. That's how you're going to get the one seed. And now they're looking up at the Dolphins. And I was gonna, for my bad goat, I considered Josh Allen, but it's Thursday. I'm sure everyone's piled on already. Like, what more is left to be said? And to the elbow of it all, when you see a really good pitcher give up 7 earned runs in 3 2/3, you're like, he's going on the DL. Like, there's something not right. And when you watch those throws, like, it's not like he just, it's not he just didn't see Patrick Peterson. Like, he's not right. He's not right. Like, he's just a little off because he's a little not right. And so obviously,
maybe that's right, because what I was looking at was there wasn't, to my eye, any drop off in velocity. You know, he was still throwing heaters, but he was inaccurate. So maybe you're right about that.
I mean, it's crazy. The 4th-and-2 interception in the end zone, terrible, obviously, but the third down pass right before that was like so scattershot. There were two receivers. You don't know who he was throwing to. Anyway, but enough about big Josh Allen. Here, you know, obviously I built my reputation on this show by attacking the terrible officiating. I've gotten away from it this year, but I'm back. Okay. Eagles Commanders. Okay. Dallas Goedert, it's not just a face mask, okay? It is a felonious assault. He has the ball. Like, I mean, I go back to the DeAndre Swift face mask in the Georgia-Alabama title game. Like, he's in space with the ball and his head gets turned 360 degrees, Exorcist Linda Blair style. Everybody misses it. You all missed it. And then, and so I forget the guy's name, the ref, I say like Alex Cooper. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, the ref. So now imagine you're the ref. You have the worst view of that play based on where you line up, you know, the part of the play that you're responsible for adjudicating. So they pass to Goddard. He's got the first down. By the way, they're going to win that game. They're going to win that football game. You're going to tack on 15 for the face mask. Okay. So they played poorly. They're going to win that game. But the terrible officials have a different thought. So imagine you're the referee. This is your crew. These are your guys you go into battle with, right? Now you're way behind the play where you line up and you're shielded by the criminal tacklers who are committing a felonious assault on Dallas Goedert. So you cannot be expected to make this call as the referee, but it is your job, Alex Kemp. Thank you, Spaghetti. Alex Kemp. But it's Alex Kemp's job now to go over and see if the commander was touched down by contact or if it's a touchdown. So you got to go watch the replay. Now you're the boss, right? You're the boss. The way you're the boss on this show, Sheck. These are your guys. You're in charge.
No, I'm like Tony Danza, though. In that equation. What was her name? She was the real boss, but maybe Judith Danza Light. Was because she was the nominal boss because she was paying Danza to live at the house and keep it clean. But in a way, he taught them some valuable lessons about life. So who's really in charge? You know? Anyway.
Alyssa Milano. So Alex Kemp has to go. He has to go determine if it's a touchdown or not. What is his reaction to his team, his guys? This is my crew. When he sees that replay, he must be his head. What I would have done if I was Alex Kemp and I see that replay and I know that I am powerless to correct a mistake that is going to cost the team the game. There's nothing I can do, because if they had shanked Goddard, if they had stabbed him in the back, not reviewable. There's nothing you can do. So even though this violent, criminal, illegal assault was committed on Dallas Goedert's face mask, there's nothing you can do because the NFL is so stupid. We can't get it right. Okay, there's nothing Alex Kemp can do about the call because of the stupid rules of the NFL. What he could have done, what I would have done, I'd have gathered my team at midfield. So the announcement will be forthcoming, but not before I air out the six other guys like, hey, what the F happened here? I'm 25 yards behind the play. Where were you guys? Hey, back judge, side judge, guys who had a good angle. You couldn't see how Dallas Goedert was brought to the so this is the bad goat. Like, this officiating, nobody saw the ball carrier. What are you watching for a ticky-tack illegal contact foul on the other side of the field? Are you looking for one of your increasingly chicken illegal man downfield? Hey, the 320-pound guy stepped 1 foot over the one and a half yard line. We're going to throw a flag. Like, what are you watching if not the ball carrier? How do you miss that call? It's such a spectacular failure of their job that is then exacerbated by the stupid NFL rules, which is like, hey, we know we effed this up completely. We know everyone watching this game knows we effed it up. Everybody knows we effed it up. Everybody knows what justice would be on the field. There's nothing we can do.
It's a great idea you have. I think if Aaron Rodgers can berate his head coach on the field, if Aaron Rodgers is allowed to shout down, if Tom Brady can yell at his offensive lineman in a public forum like that, then why can't the referee say, after further review, The ball was fumbled and the runner was touched down before he could get to his feet. But before we really dig into all that, Gary here has an apology for everybody. Gary?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just wanted to say that I was looking at I didn't see the face mask, and I'll try to do better next time. Okay. Yeah. Please do, Gary, for all of us. There's egg on all of our face.
I got a text from my daughter right at the snap of the ball. Like, what are you doing? It's the ball carrier. We're all watching the ball carrier.
Because I have a sunny disposition. I think the ref just
because, you know, we've all seen the NFL coach, the NBA coach call the timeout just to rip the guys. Happens in college.
That's maybe right. More,
where it's like, I'm calling timeout and I'm not going to stop yelling at you for the entire commercial break. I'm going to kick a chair. I'm screaming at you. I'm going to get in your face. Oh my God. It'd be so good. It'd be so good for the product. Imagine how cathartic it would feel to see a back judge just getting screamed at.
Cleet Blakeman or whatever his name is. Just like, come over here. Like, if you could do that to everybody else on the field, why can't the officials
and guess what, Gary? Guess what? There's nothing I can do. I am bound by the stupid bylaws of the NFL. So your horrible mistake is determining the outcome of this game. What did you see? Like, I mean, and then I would, and then the final thing would be just taking the zebra jerby to the office, bringing in the alternate.
Sends Gary to his room. Go, Gary. Get out of here. I said go.
Then you see these other.
Leave your flag. Go ahead.
You see these other eagle eye officials where it's like, you're the back judge. Like, you called that hold on the edge. Like, you see the flag come in from 45 yards downfield. You're like, okay, so which is it? Can you see nothing or can you see everything? Because, I mean, so that. You know, I know the Eagles didn't play well, and I feel like people were kind of maybe getting a little sick of the Eagles. Like, nobody seemed that upset that they got it in the neck because of that call. But as somebody who just all I want is for the officials to not determine the outcome of the game. Now, so that's the egregious one. Taylor Heinicke going full South American soccer player, and the guy who's 2 feet away falls for it. That is Alex Kemp. That is Alex Kemp, who's standing there, and he gets baited and he gets tricked by Neymar. Neymar pops up in a commander uniform and throws himself backward. By the way, Neymar will at least not insult the ref will call the foul because Neymar's pretending he was tripped. Neymar will do the ref the service of writhing for several minutes. Heinicke goes, ha, got you. Heinicke starts celebrating immediately because, of course, he wasn't hit with any forceful contact. So he baits the ref, tricks him, flops, ref falls for it. Heinicke doesn't even go like, oh, my neck. He does nothing. He just jumps up and goes, ha, ha, got you. And you threw the flag, so there's nothing you can do. It's over. And he's jumping around like, oh, I hate it so much.
Well, listen, you're steeped in that. You watch the Boston Bruins. I think it's funny that that could encourage guys to do it more to him. The more you Nelson, ha ha, at guys when you draw a penalty, the more inclined they're going to be to do it again to you. That next time we see you, I'm going to get you for drawing that penalty. Okay, I'll take another 15-yard roughing the passer in our favor.
I just wish Brandon, I think it was Brandon Graham. I just wish like somebody could have said, hey. Like an eighth of a second earlier, someone could have gone, the game's over and you're going to get flagged for this. Feel free to go full bore. Feel free to do what is going to be called.
If you're going to do it, make it worthwhile. Right.
Yeah. Just go ahead and decapitate this faker. This guy who's like, oh my God, I've discovered a little trick. I've discovered a glitch in your system. Ha ha. I'm going to bet it. My team's going to win because I faked you out. Like, so disgusting. So gross. Shame on Taylor Heinicke. I am picking the Commanders this week. But,
Hey, by the way, the trend continues. Double digit favorites, 6 out of 7, they've come out on the wrong side of things. There's one looming out there, the Ravens laying double digits. We'll get into that in just a second. The penalty that vexes me most, just because it's so, it's unsatisfying more than any other. I've long said holding should be a 5-yard penalty. I don't understand why it's 10 and everything else is 5 or 15. But it's illegal contact because they rarely have a replay of it. And it gets called and it's an automatic first down. Like, what the hell just happened here? Like, you get a stop and it feels like a pivotal play just happened. And then they're like, oh, there's a flag. What's it for? Illegal contact in a sport when they're contacting each other every single play over and over again on purpose. But this one crossed the line. The illegal touching and then it's a first down. What the hell happened? Can we stop and explain what the hell is the reason for this penalty? But of course, that would elongate things even further. So we don't want that to happen. But it is a bizarre call.
The Bears lost because of a phantom terrible South American soccer player. We got the World Cup coming up. So the Lions receiver gets jammed, perfectly legit jam, and then hurls himself into these histrionics like I've been assaulted. They fall for it, and the Bears pick that would have salted away that game essentially gets overturned, and the Lions get a first down and score. So after a quiet first half to the season, the refs are making up for lost time by ruining, you know, many of the games on the slate with their terrible job performance.
And we just accept it because there's no, because what else are we supposed to do? We need a courageous referee to be like, I saw that face mask. We all saw it. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm calling it anyway. How else are they going to learn? How's Gary going to learn? This is what we need to do. Eddie Spaghetti. Hey,
last, just a real quick honorable mention, bad goats. These kickers with the extra points. I mean, come on, man. I know a lot of people are like, fantasy is so much better when you get rid of kickers. Like, just get rid of kickers. Like, that getting rid of them in fantasy is the start. And then eventually we just have to get rid of them in tackle football. The Kyra Santos, Greg Joseph, Robbie Gould, like the sequence of missed extra points, and of course, Robbie Gould. That game ends at 6 instead of at 7. Kyra Santos, the Bears lose by a point. Joseph, like, he creates a whole calliope crashing to the ground with his missed extra point. Like, okay, we either have to be able to make a 33-yard kick or we just have to, you know, eliminate the extra point. Everything's a 2-point conversion. Pretty fun, right? You either score 6 or 8.
You made the seminal argument to me 20 years ago when no one else was talking about that. And I talk about it all the time. That kickers that
20 years ago, that's when my body could still produce seminal arguments. That's how long ago.
You stinker, you. You're working blue again. It's going around here. But yes, the kickers are too good. It warps the strategy. It's not as satisfying. We all hang our hat. I hope this guy makes the kick. What does that have to do with everything else that we've seen here? It's very strange that so much hinges on the third phase of the game and the 1 5-foot-4 guy who has nothing to do with the football game otherwise.
But now we've gone the other way.
I get it. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Right, exactly.
Now you can't make a 33-yarder.
Eddie Spaghetti, take it away.
So I guess I'll just start with my bad goats since Hench just wrapped up there. I'll start first with Hal Steinbrenner, and I'm sure Hench probably read these comments and was happy about that. I knew these were coming because
he got Rizzo back.
Well, that's part of it. So you sign Anthony Rizzo, like you just said, check, and then now he's having Rizzo do his bidding for Aaron Judge, saying, like, hey, we want him back here. Never a great move, but also the comments that Hal made, and while some Yankees fans probably think it's a good thing saying this, like, hey, I told Aaron Judge I want him to be a Yankee for life, and you know, if we don't get him, but we also have room to make other things happen, like, what does that mean? That you're going to move on from the 62 home run, like, AL, you know, probable AL MVP, and, you know, he says that he wants to, like, where heard these comments before this happened, and I get we're in a sports era where you know, legitimate superstars could reach free agency. We've seen it happen with LeBron James. It happens a ton in hockey. But you know, this is something where you need to get him done, and these comments should have been made earlier. They should have been more aggressive back then. Don't say that you have the funds now after you waited when you bet on him to not produced the way you thought he was, and you lost, and now you have to pay way more than what the price would have been months ago. So that's partial bad goat. The other bad goat, not as serious, is actually more funny. The Arkansas LSU game, the grounds crew using water to get rid of the ice and snow and on the field, to me, is just so absolutely funny, because they're just not used to it in Fayetteville. And that was actually a pretty good game, like defense, Harold Perkins for a true freshman for LSU, great game. But LSU
Over under, and I had a bad weekend, but I won that one over under 55. And that was before I knew that the grounds crew had bet the under.
Let's keep talking about how the educational system ain't working. Let's in Arkansas.
Well, before we jump to your good goat. The Yankees obviously is delightful, because they're trying to, you know, it's hard. You got to try to figure out what round of the playoffs do we want to lose to the Astros next year? That's what they're trying to figure out right now. But so this is the ongoing question. When a player distinguishes himself to the point where he merits the $500 million contract, what happens? Like, you know, so I would say, the Phillies, Harper is an argument for it's a good move if you have one of those handful of elite guys go ahead and back the truck up, because they can carry you to the promised land. But most of those contracts have hamstrung the franchise that gives them out. The Aaron Judge thing is so insane, because he clearly like exhausted himself emotionally and physically during that crazy September. And then he just hit, you know, maybe I said it on here, but it was the woman at the LA marathon who crapped herself in the home stretch. That was what all he had left for the playoffs. But so I'll be delighted if they lose Judge, and I'll be delighted if they overpay for him and he underperforms.
By the way, apropos of not very much that we're talking about, but I just watched the Willie Mays documentary that's on HBO. It was pretty good. Not as much about Mays' individual greatness, more of what he meant to society and to sports fans and New Yorkers, and then to the northern portions of California, and then back to New York. That, what a fascinating, you know, I love the original six era in hockey and all of that, but how cool, as much as I'm against that it sucks that some cities get two teams in the same sport, that there were the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Giants. It's very weird that you don't ever hear anything about Giants fans in that equation. The song, the sad songs written about Brooklyn people losing the Dodgers, you never hear about Giants fans being sad about losing Willie Mays and the Giants to San Francisco. Apropos, like I say, of nothing. It occurred to me, like, yeah, why is that? It's only about the Dodgers, not about the other guys, right?
Chris Mad Dog Russo. Isn't he famously a San Francisco Giants fan for that reason? They left New York.
Oh, is he? Well, that makes sense. I mean, they talk about that New Yorkers held on, that really helped ease the transition as baseball got more popular nationally. It justified them putting on San Francisco's baseball team nationally, because New Yorkers still loved Willie Mays so much. Anyhow, like I say, continue.
All right, I'm going to bring it all together as we do here. So Willie Mays, I believe this, I don't think this record has been broken. Longest gap between 50 home run seasons. I think it's 11 years. I think it's 54 to 65. He has an 11-year gap between Aaron Judge, because of how young he was when he put that first 52 spot up, is in line to be the guy that, in fact, I would bet he would be like minus 140 to do it. I bet he's actually favored to hit over 50 home runs at, you know, at some point 10 years into his career.
Interesting. And listen, just the effort there. That's why Koa loves Hench. That's why show business loves Hench. He can bring it all together. Continue, Spaghetti.
So switching over to the good goats now, I'll start with this one. NFL was just played in Germany. Tom Brady and the Bucs win that game over the Seahawks. And, you know, I know the World Cup is starting soon, and I did watch the Wrexham show. It was delightful, but I can never fully embrace soccer or their version of football. But reversely, with obviously seeing the London games, and we've had Mexico City in the past, now having the game in Munich with 3 million ticket requests for a stadium that only has 67,000, that to me was an absurd number. So good job for everyone on that side. And seeing the fans in the stadium, seeing the fans lined up outside of the stadium, that come like it's already, you know,
Gerald Powell, Handsome Hank. Handsome He's
Hank,
the one doing
Handsome
it.
Hank did it, and just the reception from the German fans. I mean, already having sausage and pretzels and beer, that's already the you know, the food for NFL game inside the stadium there.
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
Full right. pint. They're serving them full pints of beer that probably cost way less than it does over here for a, you know, a can. And they really ate it up. They enjoyed the game, and that to me shows that the NFL could become this international game where you could have not only a team, but potentially a European division. And I'm pleasantly surprised, because I know how I am with soccer, is that I'm always quick to reject. But they opened it with open arms. And my last good go, this one's a shock to probably
you know
you
who
guys.
Should play for the European team? Taylor Heinicke. He's already great at faking out. He's already got the European soccer, like just fake out the refs. You did it.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know if you had
to. Well, just while we're on the Bucks, like I am happy that my best bet came through with my logic that Brady wanted to get as far away from his family as possible. Munich seemed far enough for them to finally cover a spread, which they did, despite Byron Leftwich's best efforts. Like, I was already counting that one in the bank. I was like, "Woo, henchman, bingo!" There were 21-3, and then Leftwich is like, "Hold on, hold my giant beer. I've got a plan."
Yeah, good call on that one. You were right about that. I followed your lead on that, and it paid off for us.
And just to round out my good goats, and maybe this lead to a quarterback discussion or into our picks. But you know, you look at the NFL standings, and it's the teams near the top of the wins have either quarterbacks that we thought were question marks or still could be. I mean, look, the Eagles, obviously, Jalen Hurts, a lot of question marks. Vikings, Kirk Cousins. My Giants, the Dolphins, P, were not sold on Tua. The Titans looking like to move on from Tannehill, and Malik Willis couldn't move the ball with them. The Jets are up there. So my point is, the Giants obviously let go Joe Judge, now the Daboll era, and he before he was fired, he told Peter Schrager just to release this to the media. And the quote was, "Daniel Jones is tough as nails. Make sure people know that. Daniel Jones comes prepared to work every day. He takes a beating behind that offensive line. This guy never complains, always prepared, always the right demeanor, never out of control, never calls anyone out, doesn't get too down. I'm not sure this is going to work out in New York, but the dude is the real deal." And that just, you know, backs up what I've been saying on this pod for a number of weeks, is like, you don't have to have the Patrick Mahomes or the Josh Allen. I mean, even look at the Bills now. People are doubting Josh Allen because he's thrown 4 interceptions in the red zone the last 2 weeks. So my point is, you could win with these guys if the circumstances are right. And I think it's also pretty honorable of Joe Judge, who I've never had any ill will toward, just obviously didn't work out here, but to make sure that quote reached the national media, I thought was pretty cool by him to stick up for this guy that comes and does his job. So he gets my good goat of the week.
You know what he is? He's a good judge of character.
Oh, yes, he is. That's a very nicely done there, Hench. And, you know, here's the pushback I'll give you. I think you're right. You were early in on that observation, Spaghetti. Look at these teams. Quarterback League 2022 in many ways is anomalous. Points are starting to go up a little bit. I do, though, say, back to what I said 10, 15 minutes ago, if you look at the schedules, the football gods are smiling on Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes right now. The back halves for those two teams, I mean, I'd be very surprised if either one of them lost more than 2 games the rest of the way. So they're going to be your MVPs. And then there is something to be said for what works in the regular season versus what works in the postseason. There still is not a ton of evidence that anything other than a pure pocket passer is what gets it done over 3 or 4 games. And it really is almost weird that the best running quarterbacks in Super Bowl era to succeed on the big stage and get the Lombardi, or Roger Staubach, Steve Young, Russell Wilson. And that's kind of, I mean, like, there, it just not, it, it is not a way that a run first or got a run prominent QB does not have a great track record of winning in the playoffs, or at least winning Super Bowls. It is, but your point stands. Anything else on that, Hench?
It's funny. I like Daniel Jones. This is how bereft my fantasy team is. I put in for $9 for him this week and didn't get him because Sal got him for 13. There was a bidding war on Daniel Jones.
More than a dime. That's how much he costs. Talk about another thing that we talked about on Minus Three earlier in the week is both Geno and Danny Dimes have outplayed expectation by the franchises that they're on. And it's going to make for a very interesting offseason thing with them. Like, how much do we have to pay him to keep him? Because we thought we were going to be in the market for one of those fancy college kids. But now what are we supposed to do? Like, we can't really show him the door after the record. I mean, both those teams are looking like they're almost certainly going to get into the postseason. So that's going to be interesting, too.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. Hey, listen up, sports fan. This message is for you. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, mazel tov. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or our nation's capital. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, my goat and goats. First of all, a late ad there, based on what you said, spaghetti advocating for a European team, maybe one out of Asia. Well, where did the Concorde go? When I was growing up, they had this Concorde plane that cut the cross-continental flights the time in half. Then, like, one of them crashed or something. They're like, oh, well, we can't have those anymore. What the hell? We need to work on this technology once again. It's 2022. We need one of them fancy. Remember the Concorde? It had that, like, it looked like a bird and its beak kind of dipped down versus the other planes. I want the Concorde back. One that doesn't crash, obviously, but, you know.
They're coming.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. But, they're releasing in 2025. It'll fly in 26, but then they said it'll be a regular use for passengers all by 2029. All right.
That's great. I don't know what that Elon Musk character's been up to of late, but if he has some free time, maybe he could work on that.
You know? Was it Emily Latella or Rosanna Dana who would end her rants with the Nevermind?
Never mind. Rosanna Dana. Yeah, it was the
Emily Latella. Shaq's like, hey, where is this thing? And Spady goes, oh, it's coming. Oh, all right. Never mind. Next one.
That was a bad goat. A good goat, Dave Damashek. The sun shines on every dog. What is the phrase? Whatever it is. Everybody gets their 15 minutes. The greatest thing I've ever given. As I always say, I love sports, but I'd like to leave them a little bit better than how I found them. When I made the scene as a grown-up, when I was a child, in late November, early December, it would be cold and snowy and overcast, and I'd watch the great rivalry games. I'd watch the battle for the Beast of the East. Pitt and Penn State would wage war, and whoever won would go to a high-end New Year's Day bowl game. And I'd flip over and watch Michigan and Ohio State to see who got the Rose Bowl bid. And then I would flip the TV over to a game. Who are these two teams? And it's sunbaked. What exotic location are these people in? It's snowy everywhere I know of. And wait a minute, one's wearing a powder blue jersey and the other one's wearing a cardinal red jersey? What in hell? What laws of humanity in the globe are being defied here for this football game? It was pure heaven to tune into, as foreign as it looked to me. It was UCLA, it was USC playing the Victory Bell game. Both wearing their home jerseys because at one point they both used the same stadium. Then they abandoned it for 20, 30 years. I don't know how long. And then I was on the radio in Los Angeles and I said, let's make this thing right. And I got Rick Neuheisel and I got Pete Carroll and they got on the phone at the same time right in front of the USC-UCLA football game. And they agreed then and there to both wear their home jerseys and both take 15-yard delay of game penalties, and they accepted it, and Rick Neuheisel said, look at you, you've created detente. And I said, I don't know what detente is, but I'll take it. And now the rest is history. We get to enjoy watching it each and every week, and I dare say it's my greatest achievement. You know, so
well,
then my kids, three of my kids, look, and then, right.
Listen, that is an incredible achievement, and kudos to you, but I would still argue for the less sartorially inclined football fan, your greatest achievement, check the record, Damashek pitched the overtime solution. Damashek laid it out as adopted, you know, that you were the driving force between getting rid of this sudden death. Like, hey, if you win the coin flip, you got a very good chance of winning overtime. Both teams have to get the ball. That was all Damashek, correct?
I guess so, but they modified it. Any modification to my ideas vex Vain Dave. So you should know that by now. Another one is, this is a good goat leading into a bad goat. As I've already discussed in this space, Thanksgiving has three dandies for us. Lions and Bills is interesting. You know, we don't, who knows what these Bills. The Lions are at least sort of entertaining. Then you get the Gents and the Cowboys in the middle of it. And then, you know, Vikes Patriots is going to be good. That's an interesting one. You assume both teams are playing for something and pretty meaningful. I think the Patriots are going to beat the Jets. We'll get to that in a second. But anyway, and it's all around eating and it's the best holiday, which brings me to my bad goat. These people who complain about Thanksgiving. Now, listen, I like the bellyache about this, that, and the other, but this feels contrived to me. I like to talk about food stuff, and maybe Vain Dave is feeling a little bit of people infringing on his space. But I also have to say, again, to pat myself on the back, this is why you have to leave it to the experts like Damashek on food-based discussion here. These people who, I don't like turkey. Let's order pizza instead. Let's have a steak. No, that's not Thanksgiving. Are you going to, instead of putting a tree up in your house, you're going to put ornaments on your toilet? Well, that's how I prefer it. I don't like the tree. Like, that's the tradition. You eat turkey, you eat mashed potatoes, and you eat stuffing. And that brings me to the goat of all goats, and I mean the bad goat, The goat all goats is, in our gluttonous society, it's my annual lament. We indulge everything that we want. It's always at our fingertips, except delicious stuffing. What are we doing? Stuffing? I can go to any restaurant and get cauliflower now. I can get mac and cheese, I guess. I don't know. I don't look for it, but it's probably there. I can get 4 or 5 different potato preps, but I can't get stuffing except once a year. It's got to be reserved for Thanksgiving. Shame the devil. I want it on every menu by Christmas 2022, or shame the devil again. That's my goat. Okay. Oh, one more goat. Those weirdo football guys who went on TV, Joe Thomas and Bill Cowher, and called the Colts hiring of Jeff Saturday the most egregious disgrace that they've ever seen. That, I mean, all I can say is I'll get up on Mount Pius and say, got up on Mount Pius, get some perspective about what's happening in the world if you think this is the most egregious disgrace you've ever seen in pro football. Hey, there's a team in Northeast Ohio that has a swell fella about to join the franchise. Nobody made you do it. That feels like an egregious disgrace to me. Anyway, I wrote all about that. You can find it on social media.
Well, you know what's hilarious? I got so many thoughts and reactions. First of all, why does Spaghetti keep tilting the camera down to his junk?
I'm checking time codes for us.
Oh, you're checking time codes. Okay. Because I'm like, Spaghetti's about to go tubing on us. We're going to lose him forever. I don't know what, like, he's having a seizure and he's tilting the camera down to his junk. Like, he's threatening to do it. And I'm like, somebody in the control room, don't do it, Spaghetti. You're too
young.
This
is what we're having at my house for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
he just keeps
we got the meat.
All right.
I'm wearing
pants. That makes
pants.
No sense to the 99% of the people who are just listening. This is what's wild about the Cowher Joe Thomas thing. I don't know if you ever had this, right? You saw the movie Little Miss Sunshine?
Sure.
Like Little Miss Sunshine, right? It's fine. It's good. It's an enjoyable movie. You got your Kinnear and Carell and Abigail Breslin, right? It's a delightful movie. Then it gets nominated for an Oscar, and then you're like, well, wait a second. Now I have to not like it, because it was like, it was fine as a little like indie road movie. But if you're nominating it for an Oscar, now I have to compare it to real movies and it doesn't measure up. I had the inverse thing with the Saturday thing, because I was kind of against it. I'm like, this does seem pretty lame. You're hiring the whisperer who tells you everything that's wrong with your franchise. Well, Jeff, buddy, why don't you take, how can I take the job? I'm like, anyway. So I was against it. Then when I heard Mount Pius, I was like, well, now I'm for it. Like, it was so insane. Although I did think it was kind of good TV, because Cowher in a sea of never saying anything, right? That is the one thing I appreciated about Cowher's rant. In the most sanitized, nobody will ever say anything, he actually said something. I kind of thought it was overstated, but it was pretty good TV. That is something we all watch and we're like, why? Why do we watch this? We were mesmerized by the nothingness of pregame.
Well, I said I was making fun of it in social media, and I said this is not in the top 100 most egregious disgraces ever. And a few people then challenged me, like, okay, let's see your top 100. So I scratched it out. You can find it on social media if you're so inclined to see it. Yeah, I mean, the getting choked up thing, what it feels to me like is, and I said to Spaghetti the other day, it feels like Tony Dungy then tweeted, he's like, how long you spend at the office is not necessarily an indication of anything. Chuck Knoll was like, hey, go home to your families. It's 5 o'clock. My analogy was Phil Rosenthal in the midst of these, late nights, no sleep to make a good sitcom, makes Everybody Loves Raymond by saying like 5 o'clock, hit the doors, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow kind of thing. I think it has that kind of whiff of like, if he wins, what then does it say about all of us who have stayed away from our families for 6 months at a time every year for 20 years? I think that's the whiff I got from it, that this whole canard could go up in smoke. Thanks a lot, Saturday.
Well, the other canard, that I think you're onto something there, right? I can't, was it Gary Coleman, becomes the manager of the Padres. What's the movie?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah.
The kid from left field. The point is there are jobs that a computer could do better than a human being, jobs that an 8-year-old could do better than the guy doing it. And I think maybe you're right. What Cower didn't want to have happen is what might exactly be happening, which is, if you don't call the offensive plays and you don't call the defense, now you're down to fourth down and clock management, timeouts, right? Which is very little. Like you can literally, and Saturday is a good example, right? Saturday didn't have any of those big decisions. Like the way that game played out, it wasn't like, oh my God, he's on the edge of the analytics. What's he going to do? Like, he's not going to do anything. He's just going to win a game by doing nothing but a lot of backslapping. And the truth is, if you're not calling the plays and you're not, you know, I appreciate a head coach that's like, I'm responsible for this side of the ball. Anything that happens on offense, I'm calling those plays, you know? And so what Cower did, it's kind of like in movies, if everybody's doing their job and doing it well, the director can stay home. Like it's like the highest paid, most important person on set. It's completely irrelevant if everyone's doing a good job. Now, obviously an auteur, the reason everyone's doing a good job is because you've created that. But like Cower is afraid that people are going to see the Wizard of Oz part of NFL head coaching. Now I want Saturday to rub the table. Now you've talked me into it.
And by the way, I get the Rooney Rule aspect of this. If this somehow skirts that and creates an awkward situation where they're forced to do interviews and bring human beings on airplanes in to sit down for a job that they know before they sit down that they have no chance of getting, that is going to be a bad and ugly look. But you get the larger point. Settle down, everybody. Getting choked up about them hiring Jeff Saturday. I mean, he wasn't the barista at Starbucks for Ursay. I mean, you know, he's a football guy. He's an icon for the Colts. That's what they're looking at. His pride in being an Indianapolis Colt. That's the message, I'm sure, that's being delivered there. All right. In what little time we have left here, let me blow through our best bets. I'm going in the Big Ten, Illinois-Michigan over 43. Michigan might cover that by themselves. I don't care what the Illini have done defensively to this point. They're incented to put a big number up there. Illinois will scratch out enough there. Indiana, my favorite over bet every week here in 2022 college football. Always bet the over when the Hoosiers are involved. Hoosiers and Sparty getting it on over 48. I'm going under Duke and Pitt, 52.5. That Pitt D's really coming on. Clemson covers the 19.5. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, plus 21.5. I like that, and I like USC in the Victory Bell game to cover the 2.5. I also like the over in that one. It's scary, 76.5. Sweet Jesus. But I do like the two teams to combine. I don't know who's stopping whom in that one. I think the answer is nobody's stopping anybody. So they will transcend that 76.5. Hench, lead us into your best bets here of the weekend.
All right. Well, it's like when I look at my best bets and I realize I've got three road teams in the NFL, I don't love the fact that I'm all over these road teams, but I can't find a good reason not to be on these road teams. So we'll start with the Commanders only giving a field goal against the lowly Houston Texans. Ron Rivera might be the coach of the year. Like, I don't know how he's doing it. And obviously they're buried in that incredible division, but they look like a handful on defense. Felonious assaults notwithstanding, terrible missed calls notwithstanding. And they do just enough with the Heinicke, who's going again this week. I like the two-headed backfield. I think those guys are solid. And I think that's a pretty good team playing a not very good team and only giving 3 points.
Go through their schedule, by the way, and there is not an unreasonable path for them. When they play San Francisco in the third to last week of the season, if they beat the Niners head-to-head, you might get all four NFC East teams in the playoffs. Ooh. And no one out. Look it up and get back to back to me that'll happen. It probably won't happen, but it's not insane if they handle the Giants specifically that the commies could get on that kind of roll. Continue.
All right. I don't know. Like, again, there's probably an algorithm. You could probably measure this, but the Cowboys collapse combined with the Vikings insane comeback down 27-10, you know, like maybe historically it's like, oh, bet the trend, bet the direction those teams, the opposite directions those teams headed in at the end of their last games. I'm going the other way. I think the Cowboys go in there, win that game. It was almost like the Cowboys got complacent. Like, I think that team is really good. I know they're your Super Bowl pick, and I think they prove it this week in Minnie, going on the road to beat the Vikings.
Agreed.
Agreed. Thank you. And then the final road team, who's given 5.5, but like, I got to say, we've been hard on Brandon Staley, but it is incredible that team is even staying in games. Like, they don't, I don't know. Like, watching that Niners game, I was literally like, hey, is there a fan in the stands, like the hockey goalie who plays defensive tackle when you run out of 300-pound guys on your roster, like dropping like flies and competitive right to the end of the game? That said, too much firepower coming into the zero home field advantage that is SoFi, only 5.5. I just, you know, it's weird because the Chiefs have a lot of trouble covering an Arrowhead, but, you know, freed from the pressure of Arrowhead to the open, wide open spaces of quiet SoFi, where they'll have more fans in the stands than the Chargers. I think that the Chiefs, again, all year we're going to be apologizing for picking the Chargers over the Chiefs, but this is the game where we demonstrate just how wrong we were at the beginning of the season and try to recoup some of our losses by betting on the Chiefs -5.
Not Damashek. We're not getting back together. I'm not texting late at night to, you know, to hit on them and confuse the Chargers. We're staying friends. This is just a transactional kind of deal here. I'm taking the Chargers and the points. They just play the Chiefs. They play it better than anybody, I guess, with the exception of the Bills. But it's more smoke and mirrors because, to your point, the Chargers have been decimated by injury since, I think, you know, what, 30 years now? They're the most injured team ever, always, every single season. And yet they're hanging in there. They have a interesting head-to-head where they seem to at least cover. So I'll take the Chargers in that one. I say, you know, what I like the most about that game is the total. 50 points between those two. I think they get well over that. I think teams are starting to put it together a little bit. The offenses, ironically, are starting to come on. And I'm big on your Patriots this weekend, Hench. I lay the 3 against the Jets in that one. Also, Falcons have been pretty good to ride with the total when they're involved in the total. Chicago and Atlanta go over 50 in that one.
And now a quick break.
Spaghetti, how say you?
I'll breeze through quick, and we're short on time. For college, I do like UCLA +2.5. They're actually the more complete team in my eyes. And Notre Dame, Boston College, over 43. Notre Dame beat the over last week just by themselves. They've been scoring like crazy. Tyrese, good job in the offense. Play calling there over there. NFL picks. Love the Giants this week, giving only 3 points to the Lions. The bad weather and MetLife, Giants are going to whip them. this is a get-right game for the Eagles, giving a touchdown. They just signed Dominican Sue. And they're getting the Colts. Colts, the feel-good story last week. They're not going to show up for this game. Eagles going to win that one. Love the Patriots, like you guys all said, -3. I do like the Bengals. I think the Bengals need to win this game by more than a touchdown, by a touchdown at least. So I like the Bengals giving 4. And if I had to give leans, I would lean with the Commanders. And the one line that's really strange to me, it's really fishy. The Ravens are dealing with a ton of injuries on offense, especially, and they're giving 13 points to the Panthers, and I get they're going back to Baker Mayfield. But, like, weirdly, since they fired Rule and traded McCaffrey, the Panthers have been in, you know, they've been playing well. So I think, you know, 2 touchdowns is a lot. I'm not saying bet it, but I'm saying that I would not be shocked if that game is.
Well, what's your counsel, friend? Are you saying to make the bet or not? Are you just bringing it up?
I would say I'm leaning towards taking the Panthers plus 13. It's a lean, not a full-blown give, if that makes sense.
Did you? I thought you were trying to show off.
These are our best bets. This segment, this section is our best bets.
And I clearly had a divider. I had the divider. I had the divider, and I said my leans would be the commies, but I don't think – I think the Texans could give them a game. Damian Pierce is one of the best running backs in the league, and the Ravens should be a deep-run playoff team. But, again, 13 points is a lot. That's why I said lean.
You know what I think is interesting? I was more struck by the delivery there, Hench. I thought he was tilting it down to show off his private business, tilting his camera.
I kept
down.
Trying to read his T-shirt.
Just a comedy podcast.
Hey, we gotta close because this is, you know, we have fun around here, but we gotta close with some serious business, which is with the clown show that's about to start in Congress, and funding undoubtedly is going to be cut off. For our friends in Ukraine, more than ever, Spaghetti, we got to get those big guns of yours over.
Get over there already. Enough excuses.
No, I feel better now.
Life out of Vladimir Putin, man. This is our last chance. You know,
you're like Dennis Allen holding back Jameis Winston. Like, you're not 100%. We don't care. Get over there, friend. Take out Putin.
January,
already.
It's going to be too late. You know, they can stop the javelin shipments to our friends in Ukraine, but they can't stop Eddie Spaghetti from learn a few phrases in Russian. You put a weird hat on.
I learned
you
it could, in high school, so I could read and speak it.
Скажите, пожалуйста. All right, you get in there. By the way, I mean, I know we do it for the love of the game, but just think of the ratings after you kill Vladimir Putin with your bare hands.
And listen, it'll have multiple positive effects, I think. You know,
I used to listen for Sheck, but did you hear what Spaghetti did? Oh, my God.
Hey, social by the way, given shout outs about entertainment, I failed to say shout out to you and our boss, our nominal boss, Peyton Manning. Was cool to see you, or not see you, but your brainchild and Tim Allen and Peyton Manning. That's coming up. Santa Claus. Your new episodes of that are coming up. So Mazel Tov in advance on that. And, you know, I guess we'll wrap it up here. Enjoy the Thanksgiving week here. It really is a full week. Follow Damashek's lead. I say it's checker season. Start drinking now. Drink whenever you want. With the boss once, doesn't matter because maybe you'll see him. Maybe you won't. You don't even have to go into the office. As far as I tell him Dave gave you a note, gave you a spiritual note. It's checker season. You do as you please. That's the
that
only
is
rule
one of the wildest societal changes, right? That we went from the three martini lunch to if that guy sips a Heineken before 6 p.m., we have to have an intervention.
It's like the worst. Hey, even in that, don't get me started. We got to cut it off. But the thing, the pie, the residents of Mount Pius, the broadcasters now frown on drinking in the booth or in the press box. What happened to us? What happened? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and best wishes with your bets. Great stuff as always, Kevin Hench. Eddie Spaghetti, make sure you're checking out everything on the Extra Points Network. Gangbuster stuff there. Play with us, against us in the NFL. Pick 'em. Hench is doing better than me and Spaghetti are. But here comes Damashek. Look out, everybody. And also, here we go, Steelers. Here we go. We didn't even pick that game. This is a big one for everybody on the banks of the Three Rivers. Let's get them Bungles. Remind everybody who's the bully of that division. All right, listen. We'll be back after the weekend to see what happened in the weekend, talk about that, and then project ahead to the Thanksgiving games and beyond. Kevin Hench is going to join us early in the week to get that one in. We'll look forward to that. Until then, for Hench, Spaghetti, and everybody at Extra Points, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.